1 John chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse 5, read down through verse number 7. Then we'll read 1 John chapter 2, verse 8 through verse 11. I want to set this in some context. This life, being a Christian, sometimes is very difficult. Being what God wants you to be, doing and being on the path of righteousness, being on this side of glory, is sometimes hard. When we constantly are in a battle against darkness, and there are times where you just need somebody. You need somebody to pray with you. You need somebody to listen. You need somebody, and it may seem like it's not that big a deal, but it means a lot just to have somebody with you. There's been times where I have been about the Father's business, and just having somebody in the car or in the truck with you to ride with you means a great deal. Somebody to walk in to a hospital and walk beside you is a great deal. Having somebody, if nothing else, so that you're not alone in this world means a great deal. We looked last week on the idea, do you have a light? And we went through Scripture and we looked at all the things. Tonight, I want to look at this idea or this thought. Will you hold the light for me? Because sometimes in this world, when we're working, your hands is full of tools. You're about the task ahead. And sometimes, just need somebody to hold the light for you. When you read the Scripture here, John is saying that we are now in light and we were in darkness. And sin can cause us to continue in darkness. All right? But the words that I want us to look at and key in on tonight is the word fellowship. Fellowship. And I want us to think about fellowshipping in the light. Now, you think about fellowship, and we think about enjoying each other's company. Sitting around, if you will, drinking coffee, maybe eating a dinner, and talking about things. But fellowship goes deeper than that. The word that John uses has a deeper meaning than just community or communion. It goes a little deeper. And so when we read this, I'm not necessarily taking anything out of its context. But what I want us to notice tonight are four little simple things that can help us. And then we need to decide, are we going to help and hold the light for somebody? Because church, if you can't find help here, you can't find help. If you can't find compassion here, you can't find compassion. If you can't find somebody to care for you here, there ain't nobody going to be able to care for you. Amen? Now, I told you that story because I want you to understand that when I ask you, are you willing to hold the light for somebody, that you may not be asked to do some huge task. It may just be something small, but it means a great deal to other people. First thing I want us to notice tonight is the duo that's in the light. The Bible says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, verse 6, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In order for us to understand, in the light, where we live, in the light, looked at last week that we have been delivered from darkness and translated into His marvelous light. He hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter and Colossians, those two verses. And so if we are in the light and we say that we are in the light, then we first have fellowship with Christ. We must be with Christ and have fellowship with Him. Not only do we have fellowship with Christ, but we also have fellowship with Christians. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. There that word is again, fellowship. I want us to understand the definition of fellowship. It means to have joint participation. It means to be sharing in an activity, to share what you may have with others. It gives the idea of community. It gives the idea of communion. It's more than just sitting around enjoying each other's company, but it's about being engaged in each other's life. Listen, I believe this. Churches have gotten away from being engaged in each other's life. We come on Sunday and Wednesday. We spend a few hours together in church. We go home and we don't communicate much with one another until we come back to church on Sunday or Wednesday. But fellowshipping in the light is about being engaged in a community. Amen? We are supposed to be involved in each other's life. We are to make an impact in each other's life. We should influence one another as we are part of the community. So we have fellowship with Christ and we have fellowship with Christians. We are joining in our participation with one another. I grew up being a part of a youth group that we didn't just see each other on Wednesday night. When we got old enough to drive, we was raiding somebody's house. And there would be 40 of us piling in, ordering pizzas, and we would be watching movies. We would be shooting basketball. We would do something together. And I'm not exaggerating with that number. I remember one day, we completely run the people that lived in the house out of the house. And they said, at dark, we're coming back. You got to go home. And we grew up together, engaged in each other's life. When one of the girls in the youth group, her boyfriend that wasn't in the youth group, broke her heart, she had a bunch of big brothers that was willing to defend her in the midst of that. Why? We were engaged in each other's life. And our parents, I can remember Friday evening, our parents would come together before we could drive and hang out at each other's house. And the parents would be upstairs and the children would be downstairs. And occasionally, one of the mamas would step to the stairs and say, y'all break something? We're good. We're good. Because we were engaged in community. And that's what we need today. Amen? We need godly people working together, being together to make a difference in each other's life. There's no better way to be held accountable in your Christian walk than to hang out and to be a part of people you go to church with. It'll keep you from living one way in this pew and then another way out there in that world. Amen? And so we see that there are two together. We are in this together. If you want to give an illustration or description of that, you got to look at a team, maybe the armed forces, and how that a platoon works together, eats together, wars together. They stay together and they grow one with another and they grow in their fellowship one with another. My dad, I never will forget when we went to the Vietnam Memorial. Dad would talk about the men that he served with and how close they were. And Dad said, told me, I never will forget. He told me one time, he said, you never really grow a deep friendship until you're fighting side by side. And you know, one of you may not make it home, and you fight for the other one to be able to come home. He said, it grows your love for one another. And I never will forget that, because now I think about this. You're fighting a battle, and I'm fighting a battle. And Satan, our enemy, wants to destroy all of us. And sometimes it may be dark on the battlefield, and we need somebody to help hold the light for us so that we can fight the good fight of faith. The duo inside the light. We have to be together. We're working with Christ. We're participating in what He wants us to do. We are working together as Christians, and we're sharing, and we're working together. Are you with me tonight? The duo in the light. I want us to think about the direction of the light. Notice with me, but if we walk in the light, verse 7. Verse number 6, if we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness. When we think about walking, walking gives the idea of going forward. Amen? It gives us the idea that I have a direction in which I am going. And so I have to be able to look in the direction I'm going. The word walk means literally step by step, but it also means my way of life. And God wants you and I to go forward. Amen? Have you ever tried to walk within the darkness with the light shining behind you? You can't see where you're going, can you? I never will forget one time I was walking out of the woods, and we was with some other fellas, and one of them had the light, and I don't know what they were looking at, but they had the light shining straight up. And we run into briar thickets, and we ran into everything else trying to get to the truck that night. Finally, I took the light from him, and I said, you walk behind me, I'm going to shine the light in the right direction. And I shined it straight forward. You can't see where you're going if the light's shining straight up. Amen? Because then, what are you doing? You're looking straight up, and you're not seeing anything going to help you. You can't walk straight up. You're walking on a path. You can't do any good if you shine the light straight down, because then you see what's immediately under your feet, and you don't get to see what's immediately in front of you. I never will forget when I was learning to drive. My dad said, don't watch the road right in front of you. And I stopped. We were at Barry Chapel's parking lot. My mind went blank. I about said amusement park. We were at Barry Chapel's parking lot. I was looking wide-eyed like this. Little old 87 Subaru. Dad was trying to teach me how to drive. He's teaching me on a straight drive. That's a whole other story. He finally said, son, just cut it off. I'm going home. My nerves are shot. But he said, don't watch the road right in front of you. Why not, Dad? Because you won't see what's in front of you if you're looking at the road directly in front of you. You think about it for just a minute. It don't do you a bit of good to watch the front of the hood, does it? At night, you won't be able to see anything. Something could happen in front of you. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying we have to shine the light in the right direction. Psalm 119:105 tells us that His light, His word, is a light unto our feet, and a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path. He's saying it's out there in front of me, shining away. Now, you listen to me. There's too many Christians today shining the light in the wrong direction. Amen. There's a lot of Christians who want to shine the light behind me. And listen, you don't need to go backwards in this life. God does not want us to go. I know that years ago things were wonderful, grand, and glorious. Churches were filled, preachers run the back of the pews, and lost people come to meetings to hear things get saved, and to hear the gospel to get saved. But
What good does it do us to talk about yesterday when God's wanting us to make the most out of the opportunities we've got today? Paul said in Philippians, I put the past behind me so that I can learn from it, but I'm reaching for the goal, the mark that is set in front of me. I believe God can do something great for us now. I believe God wants to do something great for us now. But if we're shining the light backwards, we're not going to be able to see to go forward as we walk with Him through this darkness. I don't want to be one of those that has to shine the light behind you. Do you? There's a lot of things from the past I don't want the light shined on. Amen. There's a lot of things back there I don't need to relive. I want to see what's going in front of me. And so I need to make sure the direction. There's some people that want to look too much upwards. Now listen, I heard a fellow say this today, and he said he didn't like it, but I believe it. I believe sometimes we can be too heavenly minded and not any earthly good. The older we get, we keep looking for the crossing when we ain't got to the bridge yet. God's wanting us to be focused on where we're going now. So instead of shining up, let's shine out. There's too many people who want to shine it straight down. There's a lot of pessimistic people in this world. Don't want to go anywhere. Tickled death stay right where they are. They don't want the church to grow. They don't want the church to do anything. They're satisfied with the church being right where it is. And they're shining the light in the wrong direction. Let me tell you something, folks. We, as God's people, need to start shining the light in the right direction. And that's going forward. Listen, I thought about this today and God convicted my heart. I thought about all texting a bunch of you men and saying, bring a flashlight with you. And I was going to cut the lights off and we were going to shine the light on the cross. And I don't want you to think that I'm being ugly, but guess what? The cross is not the end of the story. Amen? He's not there anymore. He died once for all sin and he got down off of the cross and then they put him in a tomb. But you know what? The tomb's not the end of the story either. We need to highlight the cross because it's how we have peace with God. He died on the cross, shed his blood on the cross, made peace with God on the cross, but then he went to the grave. But guess what? He didn't stay there long neither. He stayed 6 hours on the cross, 3 days in the grave, but it didn't end right there. We don't go back to a Jerusalem tomb. We don't go back to a garden sepulcher and worship. You know why? Because God said, that's not where you need to be. The Bible said that once for all sin. Now he's sit down at the right hand of the Father because he's got a better ministry for you and I. And I believe this. As he's at the right hand of the Father, there's going to come a day where he's coming back for us. And we need to keep shining the light forward and not shining the light straight down. Because God wants us to go forward in this life. Which way are you shining your light tonight? What's the direction of your light? Say, preacher, I ain't got much of a light. When I didn't have any light, a little light was better than no light. You say tonight, preacher, I don't feel like I've got much of a light. Thank God for the light you've got. I'll be honest with you, there's times where I feel like I'm a flickering candle in a windstorm. There's some days where I feel like I might be a spotlight shining on Jesus. And there's some days I feel like I'm a busted out bug just laying by the wayside. But I thank God that he's put a light in me and I can shine what little bit I've got. And if it's just some, if it's just a little, I want to shine it in the right direction. We see the duo in the light. We are in fellowship with Christ. We have to be in fellowship with other Christians. We see the direction of the light. Let's shine it on the path so that we can see where we're going and we can see in the direction in which we're headed. I believe, number three, that there has to be dedication to the light. The Bible tells us that if we walk in the light, again, talking about walking, that we are in the light and we have fellowship one with another, that we're walking with Him and we're dedicated to truth, and that there is no darkness in us at all, but that it's all in the light of God. We have to have dedication to the light. There's where a line's drawn for a lot of folks today. We're dedicated to hobbies and we're dedicated to our own desires. We're dedicated to civic clubs and we're dedicated to other memberships. But the church membership and coming together is something that we have very little dedication to nowadays. But let me tell you something. Here's why we're dedicated. Do you understand that if we're in the light, the Bible says if we walk with Him, then we are in fellowship one with another. If we are in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You know what that's saying? We're walking on the same path. You understand why you're here tonight? You have the same desires. Let me tell you something. I don't come to Mount Carmel Baptist Church on Wednesday night to preach. I come because Christ made a promise that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in the midst. And I need Him in my midst. Satan's absolutely trying to destroy you and I. And sometimes I just need to get around God's people and in the house of God and the meeting house of God and be around the presence of God and just be able to think, well, I'm safe while I'm here. We're walking on the same path. You and I, if we are in fellowship with Him, if we're in fellowship one with another, then we are walking on the same path. So we need to be dedicated. Dedicated to walking in. You know why? I heard a man say it today. He said, as a pastor, we were talking about gifts. As pastor, I know where you are when you're not here. You're not where you're supposed to be, which is in your seat. Just about we're creatures of habit. When Bobby and Ruth are not here, this is a vacant place. I know it, and I notice it as a pastor. And so when we see each other not here, it means that we miss one another. We ought to anyway. Amen? And so we have to stay dedicated to walking the same path. Let me ask you something. Are you on the path of righteousness tonight? Are you walking in the same pathway, going in the right direction? Are you following Christ and wanting to do something? Let me tell you something. Do you know where Christ is heading? To victory. We sit around sometimes in the church and we think about the diseases that are riddling our country. We think about the things that are going on and the difficulties we face financially. As we look at the difficulties sometimes, we see the struggles and we forget that we're headed towards victory. Some of you looking at me like, really? Yeah, really. No matter what happens in this world, I've read the end. And because I'm in the light, guess what? Light overcomes darkness every single time. And so I have to keep that in mind. And if I stay dedicated to the path, I never will forget we was driving down the road one time and my brother was driving and I was riding along and I'd give him directions. I drew him a map. I wrote him down. I put him on the console beside us. We're going down the interstate and he takes an exit. I said, what are you doing? He said, it just didn't feel right the way we were going. I said, I've been down this road 100 times. I know where we're going. And you have took us off the right path and put us in a path I don't know where we're going. He said, we'll just get back on the interstate. Right at the top of the hill. Guess what? They was off ramp, no on ramp where we got off. So then we had to go in the middle of this town that I'd never been in before. Didn't have ever any desire to go through it. And then get back on the interstate and head in the direction we're going. We need to understand, stay dedicated to the path that God has put us on. Just because sometimes it don't feel like it's going exactly good doesn't mean that it's not going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. That it doesn't mean that it's not going to go through some hard times. That it's not going to go through some mountain passes and some valleys. But we will get there if we'll stay dedicated to walking the same path. Not only are we walking the same path, but we're also working for a similar purpose. You and I want the same, are working for the same purpose, at least I hope, to further the kingdom. I mean, I want to see people get right, don't you? I'm tired of this Christian conversation of, well, I can't believe they're this way. I can't believe they do this. Well, let's pray people start getting right. Amen? Instead of talking about them, let's work to try to reach out to them and show them and shine the light in the right direction. Amen? And start shining in the path that we need. So we have to be dedicated to this because we're walking on the same path and we're working for a similar purpose. We've got family that needs to be saved. We've got backslidden friends that need to get back in church. We've got a church that I hope unto the Lord that you want to see Mount Carmel thrive and grow and be what it ought to be. If you don't have that desire, then you're killing this church. I hate to be mean, but that's what's going to happen. If you don't desire to see this place grow, I know these other churches, these 30-something other Baptist churches, these Presbyterian, these Church of God, these Church of Christ, these Independent Baptists, these all of these other churches around. But if your heart is not for here, you're not going to help. So we better be working for a similar purpose. Now here's where I want to get to tonight too in this dedication. Do you know, and I'm going to use a word here that I don't like. And I wrote a different word down on my notes, but the Lord keeps bringing this one up. We're all worrying about significant problems. You got something going on in your life right now that you carried it in here with you. Just like that little woman that come to the well that day, carried her water pot with her. You come in here tonight toting a burden. You come in here tonight fighting a battle. But you know what? The Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians that there's not anything new that's coming upon us. Amen? And so if we're dedicated to one another, and if we'll help one another and help shine the light for one another, guess what? We all worried about something. And listen, just because your problem may not to me look like it's a big problem, if it's big to you, guess what? It's big. It's big. The one who feels it knows it. Amen? If you don't get anything else out of this tonight, remember that. The one who feels it knows it. It may be a huge, significant thing to you, may seem minute to others. But if it's the biggest thing you've ever faced, it's the biggest thing you've ever faced. And we need to understand, we all are worrying about something. The Bible says, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry. And they talk about worries of sin. But you show me one human being that don't worry, and I'll show you one that's got a half a step in glory. Amen? Because as a human being, we all worry about something. Amen? We worry about finances. We worry about being able to heat our homes. We worry about groceries. I want to say something tonight. I had leftovers tonight. I did. But I want to say this, that I didn't have leftovers because it was all I had. There was food in a freezer downstairs. There was food in a refrigerator in the kitchen. There was food in a cabinet. And when Jesse said, I don't know what we're going to cook, I said, I like what we had last night. It wouldn't hurt my feelings one bit just to heat it up and eat it again. And that's what we had for supper. But I'm glad that this week Jesse went and got groceries. And I want to praise his name tonight for this. That we've got a cabinet full of groceries. And we didn't have to decide tonight. The other day when she went and got groceries. Am I going to get groceries, get medicine, or be able to heat my home? God has blessed us to where, listen, we ain't rolling in nothing, honey. But we've got enough food that I don't have to go around hungry. I've got enough fuel on to where I don't have to be cold. And I can go where I need to go when I need to get there. Why? Because God has helped me. But we're all worried about the same stuff. And we all have those significant problems that mean a lot to us. Amen? So we ought to be dedicated to one another, to help each other, shine the light for one another. Here and then I'm done. I see there's devotion in the light. I said, preacher, I see. Devotion is talking about love. 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, he said that we have to love our brother. Let me tell you something. Love is the greatest motivator that there ever has been. Love motivated Christ to stay on the cross. Love motivated Christ to come to a wretched sinner like me and knock on my heart and say, I want to save you. Love will motivate and cause people to sacrifice and to cross lines and to go beyond where they've ever been before. Why? because of love.
1 John chapter 2, verse number 8. A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and now true light now shineth. Now, He said, now the true light now shineth. What's He saying? He said, hatred was darkness, love is light. Amen? And if you're going to walk in the light, you have to love. Notice what He said in verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Let me tell you something, Christian. You and I, as God's people, better love one another. Why? Because Christ loved me when I was unlovable. He come to me when nobody else would, and He did the same for you. And we sit on the pews with people, and you know why we're not engaged in each other's life? Because we don't love each other enough. That's the bottom line. When somebody else does something, or maybe they mess up, what do? Instead of loving them, we shun them. When somebody else doesn't get something good, and maybe they ain't acting the way we think that they ought to act, what do? We don't love them, we hate them. We're envious of them. We do everything opposite of what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us that love should do. But here we find that if we are to be in the light, we need to love one another. You know what love will do? It'll cause you to go sit from 1 o'clock till 9:30, 10 o'clock with some neighbors that need help. It'll cause you to go visit somebody that's maybe in the brine center. I know I'm recording this, but I can edit it out. There's a young lady working at the brine center. Danica, I seen her today. Didn't know she was working there. Quit me. It would do us some good while you're there visiting somebody. Speak to Whitney Brown. Tell her you miss her and tell her you love her. Because she's up against it. She's up against it. Love goes a long way in this world. Doesn't it? That little old dog at the house. I can call for him, call for him, call for him. And unless I got something for him to eat in my hand, he don't come to me. You know why? Because he's a pup and he aggravates the hound out of me sometimes. When he's doing something he ought not do, when he's around my feet aggravating me to death, I say, Grace, won't you holler for your dog? Lobo! And he comes running. Tonight, I didn't want him around my feet while I was eating supper. I said, Jesse, tell your dog to get over there in the kennel. She went, Lobo, go on. And that crazy dog walked in there. But you know why? He recognizes love. And he responds to love. He responds to positive affection. Our brothers in Christ respond to love. When people need to come to the house of God and they're struggling, guess what they'll react to and they'll respond to? A little bit of love. When somebody's out there and they're hurting in the world, guess what they respond to? Somebody willing to love them and be with them in the midst of their darkest time. Tonight I want to ask you a question. Will you shine a light for somebody? Maybe this is different from what you thought, but there's some people in our church just need a little light here for. God says love them. Reach a hand out to help them. Maybe tonight you need to be somebody's good Samaritan. There's somebody in this church house that is not here tonight. They used to be, but now they're not. Maybe they need somebody to come and hold the light for them. Because here's what you and I don't need to understand. We don't know what's going on at home. We can make a judgment based on consistency in the house of God. Or we can make a judgment. Now they sometimes, apples is apples and oranges is oranges. Amen? But we sometimes don't know the fight that's going on that person has to go through. Maybe even some people that are sitting on the church pews that are fighting things that we cannot see. And they smile and they carry on, but they die on the inside. And they just need somebody to come hold the light for them. Maybe tonight, as I've been preaching, there's somebody right now that you know that's working and fighting. And they're in the darkness. And maybe they ain't here tonight, but you can do something for them right now. You can come and kneel down in an altar and pray for them.